All you need to know about yesterday's budget between now and 11, because we are joined once again, as we have been in recent years, joined in studio by financial expert Piers Maloney to go through the budget provisions in detail to let you know how you fare out. Piers, of course, working with Porter & Company Chartered Accountants in Sligo. Lots of questions in already, and I'm assuming that Piers's comprehensive overview will deal with all those questions. Piers, welcome again.
Good morning.
And thanks for joining us. Well, just a quick overview, first of all, in relation to where we're at and where the government were at before yesterday's announcement.
Yeah, so I suppose, given what we've all been through over the last 18 months, I guess there's, you know, an element of yesterday's budget which tries to do something small for everyone, whether that's in the form of taxation or social welfare or expenditure measures. So while all the signs are that the economy is bouncing back from the effects of the pandemic, it must still be remembered that, you know, it was only 2 years ago that the country had a budget surplus of about 2 billion euro. So at that stage, the government was taking in more than it was spending. Whereas now it's forecast that over 2021 and 2022, there'll be a combined budget shortfall of about 21.5 billion. So the focus of the ministers yesterday was still to be prudent, to try to continue to get the national debt down from its current level, which is still, you know, too high. It's at a level of 50,000 euro for every man, woman and child in the state.
50,000
euro, yeah. So you know, in that context, I suppose, you know, they tried probably to give a small bit to everyone while still trying to manage the national debt. So what did the budget do for everyone? Well, I suppose if we look at the income tax and social welfare.
Well, and of course, that's of huge interest to people. So let's look at that. What are the changes in relation to tax announced yesterday?
From an income tax point of view, I suppose the budget yesterday was, for the first time in a number of years, 2022, there'll be a general measure of income tax relief being given across the board. And in the main, that's going to be by increasing the standard rate band. So this means that for individual taxpayers, they can earn up to 1,500 euro more at the 20% rate before going into the top 40% tax rate. So for a married couple who are both working, that increase will mean up to 3,000 euro extra being taxed at the lower 20% rate, which is, you know, a welcome move.
Yeah.
Also, there's going to be an increase in the personal tax credit, the employee tax credit and the earned income credit. All of those three credits are going up by 50 euro a year. So the combined impact of those two changes to the standard rate band and to the credits will be to reduce income tax by up to 400 euro per single person in 2022. And again, potentially up to twice that for a married couple who are both working.
Okay. And speaking of working, there were provisions made for remote working and the growing trend towards remote working.
That's right. So I suppose in line with what happened over the course of the pandemic, the government policy is now seeming to try to support that by allowing a greater deduction from your taxable income. So what they announced yesterday was that up to 30% of the cost of heating and electricity and broadband for your home will be allowed as a deduction from your taxable income for the days for which an employee works from home. So previously that deduction was only allowed at 10% of the cost. So again, it's a significant increase in the amount of your household bills that will be allowed for if you're working from home.
And the USC then?
Yeah, a small change to the USC, nothing significant. It comes, I suppose, as the minister announced that there'll be an increase in the minimum wage by 30 cent per hour up to 10.50 per hour from January. So in conjunction with that, there'll be an increase in the lower 2% USC rate band to ensure that those who are on the new minimum wage won't be paying universal social charge at the higher rate. But the change will only be worth about 15 euro a year to anybody who's earning more than the minimum wage. It's a move in the right direction, but it's relatively small. And there's also a small change as a consequence of the minimum wage rate change. There's a change to employers' PRSI. The income threshold there goes from 398 to 410 euro per week, which again is just to ensure that there's no disincentive for workers on the minimum wage that might lead to higher PRSI costs for employers. So overall, I suppose some positive steps on the income tax front, with the minister saying, you know, that these reliefs are aiming to help at a time of rising prices. So hopefully they'll continue to try to index those reliefs to inflation as the years go by.
Right, OK. Well, let's get the social welfare changes, which is of so much interest to our listeners this morning. Almost, not entirely, but almost increased across the board.
That's right, yeah. So another welcome part of the budget. And as you said, an increase of €5 across the board, mainly in weekly payments for all working age recipients of state pensions and benefits. So that includes all pensioners, job seekers and all those on various income support schemes. In addition to that, the Christmas bonus week payment has been confirmed again for this year, so that everyone who is in receipt of a weekly state pension or benefit will receive an extra week of that payment in December. So it's good to have that confirmation at this stage in the year. I know for the past couple of years, it was a lot later in the year and a lot closer to December before that was confirmed.
Yeah, there was all sorts of commotion about it last year, I remember as well. Mid-pandemic. So the Christmas bonus confirmed. Families and carers
So I suppose getting into the detail of it a little bit more, the €5 increase per week, it applies to one-parent families, it applies to job seekers, to maternity benefit, paternity benefit, adoptive benefit, and to parents' benefit as well. And there's a weekly... there's an increase in the weekly income threshold for the working family payment. So that increases by €10 per week, regardless of family size. So the working family payment is paid at a rate of 60% of the difference between a family's weekly average income and between that figure and an income limit, which is based on the size of your family. So, for example, if you've got three children, if your weekly family income is below €743, you'll get a benefit of 60% of the difference between your income and that 743. That 743 threshold is increasing by a tenner up to 753. So effectively, that should mean an extra €6 per week in the family working payment. Also, for families, there's an extension of the parents' benefit from 5 weeks to 7 weeks, and that's for parents of children who are born or adopted from July 2022 onwards. So for parents who are on parental leave, they may qualify now for €250 per week for 7 weeks based on their PRSI contributions to date. And again, just in relation to families, for all those on weekly social welfare payments, the amount payable in respect of qualified children, that increases up to €40 a week for the under 12s. So that's an increase of €2 and an increase of €3 up to €48 per week for the over 12s.
Okay. A number of questions coming in relation to children's allowance. People haven't heard anything about children's allowance. So is there anything to hear about it?
I suppose this is the old chestnut that has remained the same for quite a number of years now, is that the children's allowance is staying at €140 per month. So no change in that. There is a €10 increase in the back to school allowance for qualifying children. So they seem to be, rather than increasing children's allowance across the board, they seem to be trying to target it at the more... The more vulnerable groups. And also in respect of DESH schools, there's an increase in the hot meal school programme. So that's going to be extended from January 2022 onwards. So it's going to reach over 55,000 students from January 2022 onwards.
Okay, the carers allowance, again, questions coming in relation to that. What provisions have been made for carers? There's an increase in the allowance.
Yeah, so again, just the across-the-board increase of €5 per week for carers. There is a change in relation to the qualifying criteria for anyone applying for the carers allowance. So under the carers allowance means test, the first €332.50 per week was disregarded as income. That's being increased now to €350 per week being disregarded. Yeah. And also in the means test, there is a formula which assigns a measure of means to the amount of capital that a person owns. So that capital disregard or the amount of capital that's been disregarded in the means test is being increased significantly from €20,000 up to €50,000. So it just means that people applying for the means test for the carer's allowance will qualify that little bit easier, and those changes apply from June 2022.
Right, okay, let's turn to the pension, the old age pension and the fuel allowance, and we were calling it Fiverr budget there earlier on with Minister Josepha Madigan. So what changes have been made to the pension, the fuel allowance?
That's right. So for the elderly, it's probably a little bit more across the board than a Fiverr budget. So again, the state pension itself goes up by the €5 per week. So the basic state pension rate, contributory state pension rate, is now going to be €253.30 from January. The living alone allowance, for any pensioners who live by themselves, that's going to go up to €22 a week. So that's an increase of €3 from January 2022. And also the fuel allowance increases by €5 per week up to €33. So that's payable for 28 weeks of the year. Now that change actually applies immediately from last night. Now it may be a couple of weeks before the department catches up on the fuel allowance, but it will be paid effectively from last night. So the fuel allowance is payable to those whose total income exceeds their social welfare payment by no more than €100 a week, and that threshold itself has been increased to by €20 up to €120 per week. So again, it just gives rise to probably a slightly larger cohort of people being able to qualify for the fuel allowance. So between those three changes, for a pensioner who may be living alone and qualifying for the fuel allowance, those changes will give them an extra €13 per week, which is, you know, a welcome change, particularly with the price of energy increasing as it has been.
Right, okay, €13 a week. So for those people in a position to qualify for those allowances, and it's interesting you should mention that the change in the fuel allowance comes into effect. Or it did come into effect at midnight last night, and you were saying that the carer's allowance increase doesn't come into effect till next June, I think, wasn't that it?
That's right, yes.
And that's what people are asking us. There's no standard date for everything to take effect. It
there's
depends.
There's not, no. Yeah. I think the standard €5 a week increase across the board in the social welfare payments, before you get into the detail of the individual schemes, that €5 a week will apply from January 22 onwards. But as I said, the fuel allowance is payable from last night. The carer's allowance changes are from next June. The parents' benefit change that I mentioned earlier applies from next July. So you know, it's not a one size fits all.
Right. Okay. The dreaded but very necessary carbon tax, as we know, which has been much talked about.
So I suppose when we're on the topic of energy costs, you know, the planned increase in carbon taxes, which were outlined 2 years ago, as increases over a number of years, they're going to continue along those planned lines. I suppose it's designed to be a disincentive for people to use fossil fuels, but when there's very little alternative, it just gives rise to additional cost. It's putting €7.50 extra per tonne on carbon dioxide emitted, and that will apply from May 2022 in respect of home heating fuels. But in the case of petrol and diesel at the pumps, that carbon tax increase applied from last night. So I understand that will increase the cost of a litre of diesel at the pumps by about 2.5 cents and just over 2 cents per litre on petrol. In terms of heating fuel, it'll add about €20 onto a fill of 1,000 litres of heating oil, about 89 cents onto a bag of coal, apparently, and about 20 cents onto a bale of peat briquettes. As I said, those changes to home heating oil and coal and briquettes, etc., those increases won't kick in until May 2022.
Right, okay. Let's turn to business. And it's been a difficult time, as we know, past year and a half for business. What supports are in place? What changes?
Yeah, I suppose a lot of last year's budget was probably based around supports for business to keep them going in the midst of the pandemic. And this year, there's probably a lot more of a mixed bag announced in the budget. And in terms of continuing supports for the pandemic, firstly, the 9% rate of VAT for the hospitality sector, That's going to continue now until the 31st of August 2022. So it's designed to give that sector the benefit of that reduced VAT rate for the busy summertime market for next year. The employee wage subsidy scheme is going to continue. I mean, the minister always said that it wasn't going to drop off a cliff when it came to an end. It's been an invaluable support for businesses impacted by the pandemic who have at least 30% drop in their business and in their turnover since COVID hit. So
it'll be phased out over the next few months.
Exactly. So it's going to continue on until April 2022. On a tapered basis. So at the moment, there's not going to be any change to the scheme for October and November. So for October and November, there's four different rates of pay or of subsidy that the government pays to qualifying employers, ranging from 203 up to €350 per employee per week. So that's going to be cut back for the months of December and January and February to a couple of rates, which are €151.50 and €203 per employee per week. So that's depending on the level of pay of the individual employee. For March and April, then there'll just be a flat rate subsidy of €100 per week. And also for March and April, the reduction in the employer's PRSI rate, which was reduced to 0.5%, for those on the EWSS, that's going to revert back to the standard employer's PRSI rate for March and April. And the scheme will close for all new entrants from 1 January 2022. So as I said, it's been an invaluable scheme. They are trying to taper it down and to reduce the reliance on it over a number of months rather than just hitting businesses with the removal of the scheme straight away.
Well, Leo Varadkar, the Tony Show, was in Strandhill last Friday, turning the sod on a new digital gaming hub at the Strand campus. And there were some incentives announced for that sector as well, weren't there?
That's right, yeah. So it's a new incentive been introduced. It's obviously a sector that the government sees as being quite potentially successful, and they're anxious to encourage it, I suppose, with this tax relief. So relief is being introduced to encourage the digital gaming sector, whereby businesses which develop and test and produce digital games will qualify for a 32% credit on their corporation tax bill, subject to certain conditions. So those companies will be able to reclaim that as a refundable credit where they meet the necessary conditions, which will be outlined in the finance bill. For the general SME sector, the small and medium enterprises, the Employment Investment Incentive Scheme, or the EIIS, this is a scheme that grants income tax relief at 40% to individuals who invest in the share capital of certain early stage, I suppose, or high potential startup companies, and who seek that investment to try to grow and develop their business. The minister is trying to attempt to make that scheme more attractive, I guess, to investors by opening it up to a greater range of investment funds to invest in those businesses, and by giving greater capacity to those investors to redeem their investment and to get their money back out again without losing their tax relief. He also proposes to remove a requirement within the EII schemes to require 30% of an investment in an EII company to be spent before the tax relief can be claimed. So all in all, it's just loosening some of the conditions in terms of the attractiveness of investing in an EII. And also for startup companies, for a number of years, there's been a 3-year exemption from corporation tax for new companies that are set up and who take up a new business, and that's now been extended for a further 2 years. So it's going to be a 5-year exemption period for such new startup companies.
Okay, and the commercial there's a waiver on commercial rates for certain sectors as well, which will be welcome.
Exactly. Yeah. So again, just going back to the pandemic, there was a commercial rates waiver introduced across the board. That's going to continue for businesses in the hospitality and the arts and the tourism sector up to the end of the current year.
Right, okay, let's turn to the farming sector and what's in the budget, if anything, for farmers, Piers.
Okay, a couple of points in the budget for farmers, not a massive amount. The flat rate VAT scheme is something that farmers will be familiar with. It's a measure which compensates farmers who are not VAT registered, but compensates them for the cost of VAT that they suffer on their expenses. It adds a flat rate addition onto the price that farmers can sell their animals and their produce at. And that rate has been reduced actually for 2022 from 5.6% down to 5.5%. It's been a long time since I've seen that rate being reduced, but it's designed to come down slightly in 2022. Stock relief for farmers is being extended again for a further 3 years. To the end of 2024. So that's a measure that grants farmers a 25% relief on the increase in the value of their farm trading stock each year.
Yeah.
And also there's a 100% stock relief scheme in place for young trained farmers, and a 50% stock relief scheme for farmers in registered farm partnerships. Now, both of those are being extended, but only to the end of 2022. And in terms of young trained farmers and stamp duty, the relief on stamp duty for the purchase of farmland by young trained farmers, that's also going to apply again up to the end of 2022. Now, the minister did mention that the reason those two schemes are only being extended by 1 year is due to EU rules, but the Department of Agriculture are apparently fairly confident that the EU will permit those type of schemes to be extended beyond the end of 2022 once negotiations complete.
Right, okay, let's look at the impact of the Green Party in government on the budget, the various climate control measures. A couple of examples to give here, Piers.
Yeah, so I suppose, you know, given the commitments to comply with climate action measures, we'll probably see more and more parts of the taxation system being used to encourage environmentally friendly practices and to discourage unfriendly practices, I guess, by taxpayers in the coming years. And the budget sets out a few of those measures this year. So there's a modest measure, as the minister described it, whereby any household who generates their own electricity by whatever means, whether that's by their own wind turbine or whatever, they can disregard from tax up to €200 of income when they sell that electricity back to the grid. So a modest amount indeed it is, €200 of income being taken out of tax. But yeah, maybe it's a sign of things to come.
Electric cars, again, there's more encouragement for employees to consider going electric in companies.
Yes, they've kind of given on one hand and taken away on another. So currently there's a relief on benefit in kind on the provision of electric cars by employers to their staff. The relief currently applies to the first €50,000 of the original market value of a car, and that applies up to the end of 2022. So if you have a car that costs €50,000, an electric car, from your employer, you won't pay any benefit in kind on it. The period of that exemption is being extended up to the end of 2025. But in doing so, the amount of the exemption is actually been tapered down from 50,000. So for 2023, it'll be reduced down to 35,000. So again, for a person with the same car costing 50,000, only 35,000 of that will be exempt. So you'll pay BIK on the value of the excess of the 15,000. So that 35,000 threshold is coming down again to 20,000 and 10,000 in successive years. So the amount of benefit in kind will increase as the years go by.
Okay.
Now, also for businesses, there is a scheme in conjunction with Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, which allows businesses to accelerate the period of time over which they can claim a tax write-off in the form of capital allowances for the cost of energy efficient equipment that they purchase for use in their business. And the SEAI maintain quite a comprehensive list on their website of such equipment. That scheme is now being restricted on the one hand, So it's going to prohibit the relief being claimed on any equipment which is run directly off fossil fuels.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's being extended to include vehicles which are driven on natural gas or biogas or by hydrogen. And it's also going to cover the cost of refueling equipment associated with that technology.
Yeah. So, and VRT, vehicle registration tax, how does that... How is that affected in relation to climate change measures? Because it is.
So what they've done, I suppose, is try to disincentivize people from the higher polluting cars. So the VRT rate will increase on cars, on kind of mid-range emission cars, will increase by 1%. And that 1% rate, that's going to increase... up to 4% on higher emission cars again from January. So not good news for the motor trade, but again, it's just been used as a kind of a tool, I suppose, to impose higher taxes on cars with higher emissions. Now, the VRT relief of €5,000 for battery electric vehicles, that's being extended by a further period up to the end of 2023.
Right, okay. We want to mention housing because we're told it is, along with health, one of the most important issue on the minds of people in this country at the moment. So what, I think most of this was already announced in the Housing for All initiative. So what could you point to in relation to housing?
It probably was, yeah. And, you know, there was a lot in the budget yesterday, a lot of figures mentioned in terms of expenditure on housing and that kind of stuff. I suppose what I'm focusing on here is how that's being driven through the tax system. So the minister announced the continuation of the Help to Buy scheme for 2022. So that was due to end at the end of this year. So that's a scheme for first-time home buyers, and it's a scheme that returns to the taxpayer up to €30,000 of tax that they have paid in the previous 4 years, where a person buys a qualifying house or builds a qualifying house themselves. I know that's a scheme that has helped many people to get hold of, you know, the important deposit for a house, and it's a very welcome extension to the scheme. Now, the budget also introduced the concept of this zoned land tax to try to encourage the release and development of residential land, as I said, which has been zoned as residential and which is serviced, but which hasn't been developed for housing. So there's been announced a 2 year lead in time for the operation of the tax.
Yeah.
For land which was zoned as residential before January 22. And a 3 year lead in time for land which is zoned after January 22. It'll commence at a rate of 3% of the value of the land. Interestingly, this time it'll be administered by the Revenue Commissioners and operated on a self-assessment basis by landowners. So it's going to replace the vacant site levy, which was introduced in 2017. And which was being operated by the local authorities, but which has actually collected very little so far in the line of vacant site levies. It's going to be prepared and based on maps of the relevant residential land which the local authorities are going to prepare. So the lead-in time, I think, is designed to allow maybe people who have farmland perhaps that is zoned as residential that they have no intention of developing, maybe to try to change the zoning on parcels of land like that to back to agricultural or whatever, you know. So it's just to try to organise the operation of the land, the tax going forward. But it's interesting that this time it's been handed over to the revenue to administer.
Okay, they are some of the housing provisions, and I'm of a generation when the budget was all about alcohol and cigarettes and tax in that order, and they were the headlines of the day. And I tell you, you'd be hard pressed today to find any headline mention of alcohol or cigarettes or how the old reliables. So what,
as you said,
the story?
A talk on the budget wouldn't be right unless we mentioned cigarettes and alcohol, and there's probably a song in there somewhere, but I'm showing my age in mentioning that. But anyway,
I think there was a song. But
that's right. There's nothing in the budget actually to increase the cost of a pint. So it's many years ago, you'd have welcomed a statement like that. But there is another 50 cent being put on a packet of 20 cigarettes. I had seen some comment during the week that they were considering not increasing the excise duty on cigarettes this year, because the overall revenue that has been raised by increases over the past few years on cigarettes has been getting less and less. But it was felt that, you know, maybe it was felt that it wasn't going to be worthwhile as a revenue raising measure to keep increasing the price, but they have increased it again this year.
Maybe not for financial reasons.
Maybe not for financial reasons indeed.